If you have your Bibles, turn into Psalms chapter 16 with me today. God desires us to have a life of fullness and joy. And during the past two Sundays, Pastor Adam has been teaching us about the fullness of life and what we can do to get closer to God in our life with that fullness and that richness that He provides to us through His Word. Many times we try to go to the extremes to enjoy our fullness of life. You know, I mentioned the thrills that we try to get and to try to have fun with that. But after a while, those kind of even get old. Or you just try to get, then you try to start getting a little bit creative and coming up with ways of your own to keep life interesting. It's kind of like I once read a little boy who used to escape his bedroom after being punished. And what he would do is he would crawl out of his bedroom window down an old fruit tree that was outside of his house, outside of his bedroom window, and he crawled down that old fruit tree to the ground. And then one day his father told him, he said, you know, I'm going to chop down that fruit tree because it hasn't produced any fruit in years, and it's close to the house, and it could be a hazard if a storm comes along and drop a big limb on the house. He said, I'm just going to chop that thing down. Well, that evening, the boy and his friend, they went out and bought a bushel of apples. And what they did is they tied apples on each limb of that tree, on the barren branches. And the next morning, the man comes out. He couldn't believe his eyes. He said, honey, he said, I can't believe it, but that old tree hasn't yielded fruit for years. And now it's completely covered with apples. That's the weirdest thing I've ever saw. And he said, the most amazing thing is that it's a pear tree. So sometimes you got to get your facts straight. You know, at times we try to satisfy others or try to hoping to profit themselves. But when the truth's uncovered, it usually turns out to be a bad apple. But in Psalms chapter 16 today, we look about the fullness of life. And beginning with verse 5, if you'll read along with me. It says, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Thou dost support my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. And I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand and I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also dwell securely, for thou wilt not abandon me, my soul, to Sheol, neither wilt thou allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. But thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In the presence is fullness of joy, and in thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Please join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We come to you as a family, as a congregation of worshipers, seeking you and your face and your presence, Father. Just we welcome the Holy Spirit now among us to just be among us, to fulfill our lives, to show us areas where we need to come unto you, to bless us. Father, we ask blessing for those who are with affliction today or in pain. And Father, we come seeking your praise and we come seeking your presence. And please bless the word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to focus today my message on verse 11, where it says, you will make known to me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness and joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forevermore, as I talk to you about a life of fullness and joy today. You know, it's the stress and the strain of modern day life that we have in society that has led to a unique medical condition that's around now. And it's a condition called anhedonia. Anhedonia. A-N-E-H-E-D-O-N-I-A. Anhedonia. It's a medical term and a condition that speaks about the increasing number of people in our society who are losing the ability. Now, this is a medical term that psychologists and doctors have come up with. But it describes a condition for those who have lost the ability to find pleasure in things that they used to like. They lose the ability, literally, to be happy. And it's a relentless pursuit of pleasure and happiness that they just can't find it. It's a numbing of the senses, a dulling of their minds. Anhedonia is a Greek word made up of two words, An, meaning without, and hedon, meaning pleasure. So you put those two together, and you get without pleasure. And there are many people that you may know, I may know, or even maybe ourselves, are sometimes without pleasure, without happiness, and sometimes leading even a joyless existence in life, and kind of just doing life instead of enjoying it. And there are about three areas that the doctors and psychologists say that this is manifesting, particularly in this generation. There's social anhedonia, which means that people are there, but they're not connecting socially. They are perhaps in maybe even relationships, and people are at a point to where they're so distracted, and they're so busy, and overindulged in things that they can't connect socially, even in their own family, with their own mates, or perhaps even with their own loved ones. I mean, you can literally sometimes even hear a church, be in a conversation with someone, or at work, and then your mind is off somewhere else, thinking of what you're going to do next. You're not connecting with them truly. And this is social anhedonia. And then there's musical anhedonia, which is again an overindulgence where you no longer feel and no longer impressed on the songs you hear, because there's just not those songs that give you that loving feeling anymore, or get you up, because it's just all kind of background music to you now. And we've heard so much that nothing moves us. And I thought about our worship in many churches today. We're praising God just kind of becomes a routine. And the music just doesn't affect you. That last song we sang today was beautiful. I love you, Lord. And I used to sing that over my daughters when bedtime came, because it's just a soothing song that settles the day, and it just kind of envelops God around you in that song. And I appreciate that. And finally, the last one's kind of interesting. It's called sexual anhedonia. And where it used to be that this condition would show up with people who had mood disorders or schizophrenia or attention deficit disorder or some type of personality disorder, but it begins to take hold of their mind and it affects them. But physicians say that in the medical journals that it's the completely healthy people in the 21st century that are more and more being diagnosed with this condition. Normal people who don't have any happiness in their life, they're just losing the ability to receive joy from just the normal things in life. They need something else. It has to be stimulated more and more, and just to be able to enjoy the normal things in life. Because the pleasure center of our brain, the way we receive happiness, the way we feel happy and become laughing and joyful a lot, is because something chemically happens in our brains to cause this. And we release a chemical in our brain called dopamine, which makes you happy. It makes you feel up. It makes you feel good and anticipated and excited, kind of like the thrills you get. Even like when you're going on a vacation and you're all excited and you're all up. And some of that dopamine gets released in your brain, and it just makes you happy. Kind of like the little girl that crawled up in her grandpa's lap and cuddled real close to him, and she looked at grandpa with those big blue eyes of hers, and she said, "Grandpa, can you make the sound of a frog?" And the grandpa kind of stares down at her and smiles a little bit, and then he just turns toward her and says, "Ribbit, ribbit." Well, that moment, the little girl just jumps off of his lap and just runs into the kitchen and saying, "We're going to Disneyland, Mom. We finally get to go to Disneyland. We're on our way to Disneyland." And the mom's kind of trying to hush the daughter up and says, Honey, what are you doing coming running in here to the kitchen like this, hollering, "We're going to Disney World. What in the world makes you think that?" And the little girl, she's gleaming with joy. She blurts out, You said we could go to Disney World whenever Grandpa croaks. But so poor grandpa's in there wondering what's going on. But vacations are wonderful. They're wonderful. They make you happy, even if you have to trick your family into going on one. It doesn't matter. What happens is it sends these joyful signals, happy anticipations, like, "I'm getting out of this place. I'm going to go to some place where I can have fun, going to the beach." And we love that feeling. But it's when that process stops working, and when it happens to people, they begin to rely on those feelings to excite them. if it's sexually, then it gets old, and person usually results to pornography. Or if it's drugs, it becomes substance abuse, to release that dopamine in their mind to get that satisfaction, that pleasure. And then they're up, and then they're feeling good, and then they, all of a sudden, when they crash, then it's a continual raising of the bar, and the stakes get raised. They got to look at either something else or more and more. They got to try something else or do something else. In relationships, you have to find another person or another lover or another person. And it just seems to never end. It goes on and on because you just can't find satisfaction in that one person. The pleasure we used to get, we just don't get anymore. Or simple relationships that we just had aren't enough now. Well, physicians and scientists are studying this anhedonia, and they believe that of the corporate rise in our society and the cases in our society, it's because society has become overstimulated, basically. I mean, we have so much going on that the technological advancements and improvements that we have and the inventions of our modern times we have nowadays, our brains are just so overstimulated. And stimulated to the point to where we're busy 24 hours a day, almost 365 days a year, we have stuff going on. Society has so many devices at our fingertips that we can be sitting around even with a bunch of people and not connecting socially, all because we're on our smartphones checking our social media, getting information about a particular subject, or texting an individual, or things that we just never seem to shut it off or connect. Devices such as smartphones and iPads and chat rooms and apps and games and texting and Twitter and Wi-Fi and satellite TV, all of things are going on at one time or another in our life. So much is available that we're just overstimulated. Take a look at this video, for example.
A phone that plays music, connects to the internet, and displays HD movies. You thought it couldn't get any better. Then we added a garage door opener, TV remote, paper shredder, handheld vacuum, and scale. You thought you'd seen it all. You didn't think we could add a cheese grater, an electric air pump, a lip balm dispenser, a beard and nose hair trimmer, or a taser. You never thought you'd be performing LASIK surgery on yourself, fishing, or rotisserieing a chicken. What could we possibly add to a phone that can launch itself into suborbital spaceflight, predict the weather, detect the smell of fear, and indicate who your soulmate will be with 97% accuracy? How could it possibly get any better? Well, it has. Our latest accessory is Intercessory. A gentle electrical jolt reminds you to pray without ceasing. If you're unsure of who or what to pray for, just give it a shake and let random acts of kindness pick for you. Or, if you just don't have time, use one of our pre-recorded prayers for all occasions.
God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for this food.
Thy phone. Solving life's dilemmas, one 3G prayer at a time.
We don't have that app yet available at our church, but personally, I'm not against smartphones. I think they're amazing devices. I have one. I carry it with me. They're because they give us lightning information at our fingertips, and they're amazing. And I'm not against technology and the advances we have. I think all of those are needed to make our lives much easier and much more available to hopefully other things. But if we're not careful, we don't even talk at our meals because we're so engaged in what we're doing. As we sit down with our families, nobody's connecting. Everybody may be in the living room looking at their phone. And everybody's so involved to the point that it takes something extreme to rattle your cage, to get your attention. Technology, one doctor said, is revolutionizing our lives, but at the same time, it's ravishing our brains. Steven Spielberg, who was the author of Jurassic Park, he was asked why he did that movie so spectacular and grand with all the special effects and the dinosaurs looking so realistic. And what he said, in other generations, people wanted to be educated. They wanted to be enlightened or improved or empowered. But he said, in this generation, they just want to be entertained. And he went on to say, he said, technology can be our best friend, and that also technology can be the biggest party pooper in our lives. Because it interrupts our story. It interrupts our ability to have a thought or to daydream or think of something wonderful. Because we're so busy bridging the gap from the walk to the cafeteria back to the office on our cell phone. The great fear of this generation isn't death or some weird disease. The fear is simply boredom. Boredom. That's why we can't even go to the bathroom sometimes without a smartphone to look at. It's like everywhere you want to go, you want to take it with you. Last year, a survey found that 75% of Americans admitted to using their phones while in the bathroom. And out of those surveyed, 4% took a picture of themselves on the throne. 48% of them was texting. 22% answered or read or emails. 19% of them played games. 1% did conference calling from work. I bet that was a real... 25% of them actually talked, and 13% posted to social media. So the great failure of this generation isn't death or disease. It's simply, I'm afraid for 1 second that I'm going to get quiet and I'm going to get still. And I've got to keep myself preoccupied. And in that society, God says, be still and know. He says, turn it all off and know that I am God. I may shock some of you younger teens here, but there was a time in my lifetime where there weren't any smartphones. Can you believe that? I mean, I actually remember there was a time, and as with most older adults here today, that when the phone hung on the wall. It actually sat there and hung on the wall, and it's your phone didn't go everywhere you went. But just imagine in your mind, if you can, that it actually hung on the wall. And then all of a sudden, technology kept advancing. And then we were really up with technology when we got a 10-foot cord extender to put on that phone. You remember that? That way you could take your phone in from the kitchen to the living room and talk with someone while you watch TV. Boy, those were the days, weren't they? And then, it's just amazing. We thought we were something, you know. But now look at what we've got. We're just so overstimulated with the things. I'm not preaching against technology, of course. I'm preaching about the preoccupation with the technology and the phones. If we're not careful, if we're not cautious, even our capacity to experience God can be compromised. Because we filled our minds and our lives with so much stimuli, there's no room for God. And we can miss the Master. I mean, He can be sitting here in all of His glory. He can be playing a song of deliverance over your life. And we never even know it. Because we've become so self-absorbed and so overstimulated. Sometimes we want to just get in and we want to leave here and we want to just leave just like we came. And so... what happens, they have to keep trying more and more to keep stimulated, more up with, you know, impress me. Say something I don't know when I come to church. I want to find something that I didn't know before. Impress me. And they just keep trying more and more. But it's in His presence, where you find that fullness and joy. And at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Not in party after party and hopping from one club to another club or another lover to another lover or from even from one marriage to another marriage, but it's only in His presence that you connect with Him and He connects with you. Because those other things, they just get old after a while. And the more you connect with Him, the more you'll start to love them around you. But if we're not careful, we can come to God's house and in the Spirit of God and the Word of God we hear and the anointing of God doesn't affect us anymore. Because we live in a world of stimulation. And if we're not careful, what used to move you in this church will no longer move you. What used to touch you will no longer touch you anymore. And the fullness... and joy. And what happens is you start to become a lukewarm believer and we lose that fire for Jesus. We need to restoke that fire in our lives for Him. And because nothing else brings pleasure. Nothing else brings joy. Nothing else brings fullness. But Jesus, who is the center of our joy. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we rely on something else in the church to get us up. But Jesus is the center of our joy. But we keep pursuing and pursuing different things. And when you get it won't get enough. We've got to find His presence and be in that for a life of fullness and joy. Chapter 9, verse 6 of Isaiah says, He's Wonderful Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. So be careful not to lose the wonderful about that. Don't miss the Master by becoming so busy by even thinking maybe now, what am I going to do when I get out of here? Where am I going to go eat? What have I got going on next week at work? Don't miss the Master. Refuse just to go through the motions and the gestures of worship that we do. And let our hearts be moved by who He is, the Wonderful Counselor Jesus. And ask yourself, am I still awe in His presence? Am I still moved? Do I still get goosebumps sometimes? How long has it been since you felt that tingling on your spine? And when we're in a service that you were in the tangible presence of God and felt that He could move your soul in a mighty way? Or even the hardest person that was probably in here would have tears well up in their eyes when the King walks in and is among us. Elijah, he found himself sinking in life without any pleasure. After this spectacular display that God did for him, that wowed him, his stimuli. Big giant fire comes down from heaven, laps up the altar, kills the Baal prophets. They start to scatter. But what's Elijah do? It's like, that kind of was cool, but what do you got next? And he became depressed, and he became scared because he heard that Jezebel was after him. And he was depression. And with that big spectacular display wasn't enough for him. That would carry him through. And so he takes off and he goes to a mountainside called Mount Horeb. And God says, you know, Elijah, I'm going to teach you something, buddy. When Elijah's up there hiding in that mountain, he says, you want to be impressed by me? Watch this. And God comes by in a giant whirlwind, send a giant tornado by him. Might have been an F5, I don't know. But he's up in that mountainside watching that thing go across the plains. But God wasn't in the tornado. God didn't speak to him there. And then all of a sudden, God says, fire coming down from heaven. And that's pretty amazing. But Elijah didn't hear God in that either. And then all of a sudden, a fantastic lightning show happens. And lightning starts hitting there. In 1 Kings 9:19, it starts hitting there and there and there. And it wasn't enough for him. These big bolts of lightning crashing and lighting up the panoramic view of the sky. And God says, you want something else? And He starts rattling the mountains and sends an earthquake and the earth begins to shake. But it wasn't enough. And His voice wasn't in the earthquake. The Bible said His voice came in a still, small voice. And that's what's missing. We can be so busy and our soul be so barren that we're looking to be wowed by God in some fantastic display of something, either songs or worships or message, that we go there and we sometimes miss Him. So much we get in a hurry. We just want to come to church, get our dose of God. God bless me, show me something neat, and then I'm back out on the way again. And we go there and we start disconnecting from one another. And most importantly, we disconnect from God. Because the Lord cares about more who you are than what you do. Because that still, small voice will still bring you pleasure and true purpose and true joy and peace and forgiveness and fulfillment to you if you'll only listen. Because we've got to understand that we're in a battle for our families today, for our homes. We need to start asking each other, are you doing okay? And start connecting with each other again. And having that assurance that, you know, you can really tell me anything on your mind. It may feel awkward, but we've got to start connecting again. Having these types of conversations, because if not, it's destroying a generation. And understand is that as a spiritual leader in your home, you don't just win for you. You don't just try to get your act together. And try to keep yourself in God's disciplines and presence just for yourself, thinking that'll spill over in your family and that'll be enough. It's not just about you. When David and Goliath met in the valley, before they started to fight, the Bible said that the armies, two armies, were arrayed or facing each other, and they're getting ready to fight. And the armies of Israel and the armies of the Philistines were about to get it on and have this massive battle when Goliath stopped it. And Goliath said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 8 and 9, he says, "Choose yourselves a man to come down to me. And if he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll become your servants. But if I prevail against him and I kill him, then you shall become our servants to serve us. And basically, you'll become our slaves." We need to understand that as the head of our home, it's you and me. And we need to understand, Pastor Adam and I as pastors need to understand that as the heads of the ministry and pastors all over the nation, that we're not just fighting for ourselves. We're not just trying to keep ourselves right with God. But it's the people that we oversee, the people that we care for. I mean, we're going to have struggles, and if we don't defeat our giant, the giant that comes out, notice that it's army against army, but it's leader against leader that's really mattering here in this battle. To those you oversee in your families, to those you care for. That's why we can't afford just to come to church here and just play church. We just can't go through the routines of loving God and expect Him to do great things. It's not all just about us. We have to have His touch. We have to be in His presence. And because there's a war going on, and the enemy wants to take people deeper and deeper into wickedness and filthiness and defilement. And the Holy Spirit has to do such as work as to come send a message, either through Bible study, either through the Home Connect groups, or either through a message or a sermon, to stop that, to the busyness of life, to awaken our conscience, to do something. Where something in our heart begins to stir again and says, "Oh God, this isn't where I'm supposed to be. I need you. Even today in this service, can you show me the path of life? Because it's what it's all about. In His presence and in His joy. And in your right hand, there's pleasures forevermore." In closing, I'll tell you a story about a king that had two servants. The first one, he said, "I want you to travel 6 months throughout my kingdom. And when you're traveling, I want you to bring me back a sample of every weed that you find in my kingdom." And the second servant, he said, "Likewise, I want you to do the same. I want you to travel through my kingdom, but I want you to find a flower in my kingdom. Everywhere you go, pick every kind of sample of flowers that you find and bring them back." Well, 6 months later, both servants stood before the king, and to the first servant he asked, he said, "Have you carried out my command?" And the first servant said, "Absolutely I did." He said, "I was amazed to find there are so many weeds in the kingdom." He says, "Matter of fact, as I started noticing when I walked around, this kingdom is nothing but full of weeds." The king questioned the second servant, and he said, "I have also came back, and I am amazed how many flowers I have found." He said, "In fact, there's nothing but beautiful flowers all around this kingdom when I see." So the two servants found what they were looking for. And in the same likeness, so do we. We find what we're looking for when we come and in our life. Have you counted your blessings lately in your life? Is there any beauty outside your window of your life, or is there nothing but weeds and thistles? Or have you noticed the beautiful flowers and even stopped to smell them? Does your mind guide you to new pleasures and opportunities, or do you let God show them to you? Has your faith bared you up when circumstances weighed you down? What resources are instilled inside you by God can He arise and bring back up to you, to your forefront, especially as we go full steam ahead into the holiday season that is approaching? Some have resisted so many times, and it seems to be becoming harder and harder. That shell has begun to develop over some hearts, and it's harder and harder to get penetrated through the Holy Spirit. That touch of God, that anointing of God, that presence of God to where sometimes it doesn't even move us anymore. If you would, please stand. And as the close of worship today, would you just, those of you that feel comfortable, just raise your hand toward the heavens all over this room. If you feel comfortable, just raise your hand just as an act of surrender. And say, Holy Spirit, please, I don't want to miss you, Jesus, in my life. I want that life of presence in your life, my presence and fullness of joy in my life. I want the pleasures in your right hand forevermore. Just touch me and fill me, Holy Spirit. Show me the goodness of life. Break down the shell that is encrusted around me so I can see goodness and mercy in those around. This is your service. How long has it been for you as a father, as a mom, as a teenager? How long has it been since you were actually in His presence? That everything was swept away. The craziness of life can just get swept away as He consumes you. And everything that you've been longing and hoping for that was missing begins to pour back into your life. This morning, as our worship team leads us in song, and as our counselors come over here and stand over here to either pray for you or pray over you, the Holy Spirit is prompting you to follow Him, to be swept away and find that life of fulfillment and joy. This morning, some of you may just want to come up to the altar and pray and not even mess with the counselors. Counselors are here just to pray for you only if you want prayer. But this is your service. You do what God's prompting you. If you need to get alone to experience this fullness and joy again, then get alone and come to the altar and find it. Or if you want to do it where you're standing, but it's in His presence, we find that fullness and joy and the pleasures of His right hand. Let Him come into your presence as we sing. Those of you that need to come and rededicate your life as a commitment to Him, today may be that day. If you've never taken part in asking Jesus Christ in your life and experienced the greatest salvation in our lives of cleansing, fulfillment, and restoral, today may be that day you ask Jesus into your life to come in and to make you a new person. Maybe some of you just maybe need to make a public profession and say, I've asked Christ in my life, but I've never really told anybody about it. Today, you may need to come up just to show that you have Christ in your life and have done it. This is your service. This is your time with God. Thank you this morning for joining us in worship, prayer, and word. We ask that you seek His presence. Whether this week or at work, at home, or wherever you may be, but seek His presence. It may be in your car. Just keep your eyes on the road. Wherever you are, seek His presence. And in that way, you'll find true joy, true fulfillment, and the pleasures He'll give you. Psalms even says He gives you the desires of your heart when you're in His presence. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive them. So we can be in His presence. Father, we thank You for giving us the ability to come to You and have a relationship with You and to be in Your presence, and that You give us the peace and fulfillment and joy in our lives that we need in this busy world that we're in. We yearn for Your return to take us back to glory so we'd be glorified in our bodies. So, Father, teach us to be in Your presence, even if it means to separate us from the things that cause us distractions. Let us not miss Your presence of fullness and joy that You give us and the pleasures that await us, because You are a loving Father and You want to bestow upon us the favor of a good Father. So we ask this, Father, just to be with us this week, to show us areas to give to You, to surrender to You, and to show us how we can be a minister in Your kingdom, to help others maybe see the beauty outside their window. We ask these things in Your name. And all the church said, Amen.